And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Kurt Rogers with me today, one of my great sponsors from Affordable Interest Mortgage. And we've got a great guest joining us, and I timed this to have this particular guest and Kurt here at the same time. Tim Pagliara. Make sure I say that right. Tim Pagliara. Am I saying that correctly, Tim?
Did a great job. Thank you.
All right. So let's talk about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and how that's tied to home ownership, and even talk about in 08 what kind of happened back then.
Okay. Shoot away.
All right. So first off, you've got a book that you've written along these lines and some other things you're doing as well. Let's talk about that first.
Well, the book, Another Big Lie, How the Government Stole Billions from the American Dream and Home Ownership, gives a historical perspective of why Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are important to the mortgage industry and what has happened in the last 12, 13 years while they've been in conservatorship and the political football that's been passed back and forth in trying to resolve the issue so that these entities can get the capital that they need so that they can continue to serve the mission that they have for the American homeowner.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. And this is where, and Kurt Rogers with me as well. He's my own personal mortgage broker, Tim. Plus, he's a great sponsor, and I wanted him to be here at the same time as you. So we really we got a full hour. We talk about this on a monthly basis as well. But let's talk a minute about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. How important to especially those first time homeowners? How important is that?
It's tremendously important. Fannie Mae was created back in 1938 by FDR and Treasury Secretary Morgenthau to fill a gap, a weakness in the financial system. In 1938, there was a 50% drop in home prices, 25% unemployment, and the banks would not loan money. They couldn't loan money. The regulators were on them to conserve and protect their assets. And so that's a pro-cyclical business model. You know, it tightens up when things get bad. So Fannie Mae was created to buy mortgages from those banks, give them fresh capital that they could loan, and then Fannie Mae created the 30-year mortgage. They arranged for long-term permanent financing so people could stay in their homes. Prior to that, the average home mortgage was less than 5 years. So how can you re-qualify every 5 years on a five-year basis if you don't have a job and your house, you know, on a temporary basis, let's say, has gone down in value for whatever reason because of the economic crisis? So it's been a counter-cyclical force that serves average people. The largest mortgage that Fannie Mae issues is $512,000, subject to some variations based upon the cost of living in regions of the country. And they buy those mortgages from Kirk's mortgage company, from banks. And as long as they comply with Fannie Mae guidelines, then, you know, there's a source of liquidity. They can take those applications. They're packaged up then and sold to institutions like insurance companies and pension funds.
Okay.
And I agree with you, Tim. One of the things that I think the government understood was that the housing business, selling houses and home ownership, is basically the economic backbone to the United States, because through that, everything else kind of flows. Money flows, and you got to keep the money moving. So when they weren't loaning money by creating Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the banks could then say, okay, we're going to loan out the money, then we're going to sell it to them, and we get our money back to do it again.
Got it.
So there's no risk to the banks. It goes on to the government, but you're putting people in the homes, and you're helping the economy. And a lot of people don't understand how that works.
That's right. And one of the myths that we dispelled in the book was that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac caused the mortgage crisis. They didn't. The Federal Crisis Inquiry Commission, 92% of all the loans that went bad were issued by the large money center banks, despite the fact that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had a much larger percentage of loans on their books. And this has been a political football. It's been a system of much abuse. In fact, there's a large body of evidence, and it was before the United States Supreme Court December 9th, suggests even that they didn't belong in conservatorship in the first place.
And he's correct, because if you do any history about what caused the mortgage meltdown, you'll find out Fannie and Freddie was just doing kind of what they were told, and what there were regulations came out, CRA, that says you now have to start loaning money to people that really don't qualify for it. And Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you're going to buy those loans.
Got it.
So they're forcing people into loans that they don't qualify for. The government's backing them. Then they want to blame Fannie and Freddie for doing that. And it wasn't their fault. They were being forced. And that came through. It wasn't just one administration. It was several administrations that were creating that problem.
That's the back-and-forth football Tim talked about a moment
that's
ago.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And they're still fighting it now. They're trying to point the finger because they don't want it on themselves.
Tim, agree or disagree?
And I agree. And I take it one step further. You know, the reason that they took Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac private was to get private capital in place to buffer whatever losses there would be, so the American taxpayer wasn't on the hook. They've been running these entities without capital since 2008. And the theft, again, the theft that was before the United States Supreme Court, they've redirected $350 billion for the earnings and profits of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to the federal government, unappropriated for use in everything from the Affordable Care Act to other pet projects. And it violates the Appropriations Clause of Congress. And like I said, it's been a political football.
So if we, which I don't think is going to happen, if Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac go away, what happens to home, not only values, you know, but the loans, you know, it takes to get into houses, as I said earlier, you know, first-time home buyers and so on. What happens to the housing market if that goes away?
Well, immediately, probably nothing. But then you, over time, we're always going to have the cyclicality of the economy. So we will be in a recession. There will be an economic downturn at some point.
Sure.
And it will hurt the little guy. So that's the first thing. It always hurts the little guy. That's mm-hmm. what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were created for. And then the second thing it does, it's inevitably going to increase costs. The price of home mortgages, because the money center banks, they're not equipped to handle this. They, because of regulation changes in Dodd-Frank, they don't want to put the capital. And so they will retailer that 30-year mortgage, which is really a source of financial security for average Americans. They'll retailer it and will revert back to shorter-term mortgages with less risk on the lender, and they'll put more and more of the risk on the average American homeowner.
Which,
if, it's not a good situation.
I was just going to say, which, if you, you know, the way I look at that from the outside in, that would slow down a lot of things because it takes a lot of people out of the buying market.
Yeah, because as the rate goes up, the payment goes up.
Right.
Tim talked earlier about back in the 50s, interest rates back in the 50s were between 5% and 6%. Why? Because that was less risk for them. They had a better chance. And you were requiring 20% down. You couldn't buy a home unless you put 20% down. Mm-hmm. Now you're able to get into a home that helps those people that are just getting back on their feet or getting started to be able to buy a home, especially at the prices. You take them away, and that goes away. And everything that goes with that, Home Depot, mm-hmm. new drapes, new furniture,
right.
all of
right.
that goes with it.
Makes sense. Tim, how do folks get the
right.
book?
Amazon and any of the other, you know, major retailers, but Amazon's the primary source of it.
Okay.
And it's a good read, and it gives. I break it down in ways that average American can understand, and they can understand again the ripple effects, the importance of the housing industry. We even take on a few United States senators and the corruption and how their interests and the money center bank's interests were aligned against the American homeowner. Hmm. It's very factual, okay. very data-driven.
Awesome.
And I've got good feedback.
No, awesome. I'll get it and read it. Tim, I appreciate it. By the way, everybody listening, Tim's last name is spelled Pagliara. Tim, I appreciate you joining us. This has been great, and we'll have you back in the future. This is good stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Tim.
I appreciate it. What are your thoughts there, Kurt?
I agree with him a lot. A lot of people think that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were the cause, but if you do any research, you realize No, they didn't. They were just kind of following the orders.
Scapegoat.
They were just being pushed to go down this trail to help back subprime. If you leave the banks on their own and you take Fannie Mae out of the deal, you're going to have a big problem.
Okay. All right. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Geno's Auto Service is next. Get that vehicle serviced today. It's easy. Go to genosautoservice.com, Geno's with a J, or 303-794-6700. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Kurt Rogers again with me, Affordable Interest Mortgage, and we talk this once a month on mortgages, rates, different things, where we headed, the housing market, and so on. And we talked a moment ago with our last guest about, you know, potential crashes.
Correct.
And that's always the thing that people are wondering, when's it coming? When's the next crash coming? Now, I could be wrong. Nobody, I'm not a stock trader. I'm not that guy, so please take this for what it's worth. But the way I view things right now, which I think in the future, especially the near future, is going to be different than times past. Typically in the past, if the market crashed, so did the housing market. They were sort of tied together.
Yes,
with one win, so did the other.
Watch the stock market, watch the housing market.
Correct.
They work together.
I think, though, right now we've entered into a different time because of supply and demand, to where there may be some correlation, but it will not be as closely tied as it has been in the past. In other words, I think you could easily see a dip in the market, even a dip in the retail sector, and frankly, not have housing affected at all.
And part of that is, you were talking about it, I believe, on the last hour, there's a shortage of supplies to continue to make retail work in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the car, that chip.
Right. That's
My
right.
son's in the car business, and he says there's thousands of cars sitting in California.
Right, in lots.
And they can't do nothing with them because they can't get them out. These are new cars. That's why
sitting
the price
in.
Of used cars are up.
That's why rental car prices are up.
Everything about that, 2x4s, everybody hears about those. Builders are going crazy because they can't figure the cost of a build because they can't get the supplies fast enough.
Right.
That's going to affect the stock market, not the housing market, because the demand is still so high in the housing market.
Yeah,
it's not going to change.
And frankly, folks, I don't see that change. I mean, this is how I look at this. And Kurt, please tell me, feel free to tell me if I'm wrong. You know, you can speak freely. You know that. Or anybody out there listening that wants to call in and tell me I'm wrong, feel free to do so. But when we've just gone through I realize some people, you know, maybe it's a pandemic, maybe it's not, maybe it's a made up one, doesn't matter. We went through a quote unquote pandemic where we shut a lot of businesses down. A lot of people didn't have work. Everybody from food service workers on down the line. And yet housing prices went up. Did you hear what I just said, folks?
10.4%.
We had record unemployment this year.
Yes.
You know, 2020, 2021, we had some record unemployment, and yet through all of that, housing prices went up.
Supply went down, demand went up, housing prices in Colorado went up 10.4% in 2020.
And
when we had unemployment up around 8-9%, the value of homes still went up.
And folks, the reason for that, and I said some of this at the beginning of the pandemic. Charlie can remember this all the way back. Even Kurt can remember this all the way back last March, April. I said this. And here's the reason why housing prices haven't changed. As sad as this may be, I'm just going to speak the truth. I'm not being derogatory. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. Please don't take it that way if you're one of these individuals. But what I will tell you is the majority of people that struggled through COVID with their job were not homeowners. They were renters. They lived with mom and dad. They maybe lived with somebody else. Maybe they were roommates. Maybe they had several people living in the same home. What I'm getting at is the majority of people that were affected negatively, you know, hugely negatively during COVID, were not homeowners. That's why you didn't see a huge drop and big sell-offs in the housing market. Am I right, Kurt?
You are correct there. Very much so.
And I'm not saying that derogatory. That's just a fact, folks.
Number two, back in 2008, the government paid the banks. What the government did this time was smarter.
It paid the individuals and the businesses.
They paid the businesses to keep them alive with the PPPs, and they've done it twice, and they took the rest of the money and they've given it out to the people that lost their jobs. Here's some money to get by. So it kept a little bit of a flow going. Even though unemployment went up, it still kept it going to where it's not having the effect. And I agree with you, the majority of the people that got hit the hardest did not own a home.
And by the way, my heart goes out to any of those individuals that you know, lost employment and so on. And you guys all know that. I've talked about this. I'm not saying right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm just giving you the facts. That's why the housing market, not only in Colorado, but in general across the country, has stayed pretty strong.
Agreed. And for those areas that have been affected by a tougher economy than what Colorado's going through, East Coast, West Coast, they're coming out here with cash to buy things because they can't deal with what's going on in those states.
Right.
They're
that's
moving.
The other thing, yes.
And that's putting more pressure in Colorado in the housing market. First time in 20 years I've been doing this, they have less than a 30-day supply of homes. That automatically drives prices up.
Yeah, and we talked about this last time Kurt was on, and I watched this just, I don't know, because I'm a housing guy. I mean, this it's what I understand, folks. I'm not a stock market guy. I understand this end of things. And what I will tell you is, even with what Kurt is saying about the supply, and I get email updates on this stuff regularly, so I can attest to this. Of that 30-day supply, and please, if you're somebody with a house for sale that fits this description, I'm sorry, but I'm just, again, I'm going to be honest. About half of those homes Kurt's talking about are crap.
Yeah.
I know Kurt won't say that, but I
use the word dated. They're dated.
Use whatever you want, but they are not cream of the crop homes.
Right.
So what I'm getting at is, of that 30-day supply, you really probably only have half that are really desirable homes that people want to go put money down on and then go live in. So you've even got less supply than what the numbers show, is my point.
That is correct, which has forced the building market to go crazy.
And by the way, the reason why that is because when the market's doing what it's doing now, if you have a really crap home you want to go trade up, what are you doing right now? You're selling.
Yes.
Because you know there will be buyers out there that will buy that, allowing you to then move into something else. So there are a lot of homes right now, and I see them because you can see them all over town. They're in even some of the rougher parts of town, or they're in areas where there's a lot of fixer-uppers or fix and flips. And why do I know this? Because, again, I'm watching the market, and I can see where these homes are that are for sale, and about half of that number Kurt just gave you are houses I just mentioned. Now, if you're in that and you want to do a fix and flip and so on, are there some decent buys? I'll let you decide that.
You bring up a point about fix and flips, which takes you to a side of the market that's not as been as popular before as it is now. And the main reason is because of rates, and that's investment buyers. Investment buyers are buying homes as fast as they can get their hands on them. And the main reason for that, because I have several of those clients, is because the rates are so low, the payment is so low, they can withstand what happens in the next 5 years a whole lot better. So they understand the long-term effect of an investment. So they get it now, even if the price they get it
is a little high.
That's right. Even if the values go down, they're still collecting rent and
people
aren't going to move.
And because of the rates and the things Kurt just
said,
it all works mathematically.
That's correct. And that's caused more pressure on the housing market. They're trying to pick up everything they can.
There's lots of pressures on housing is what you're trying to say.
That's correct.
From people that are moving into the state,
yep.
From out of state, from people that are trying to move up that are currently in state, to first-time home buyers, to investors.
And then
right?
and then the last piece is the people that moved out of downtown to the burbs.
I missed that piece. Yes, yeah. So those inner city folks that are tired of living in the inner city that are now looking. And by the way, that's some of the influx of even out-of-towners are other inner city towns where they're just like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to move someplace else.
We actually have clients that are still working in other states, but they're moving here because they're doing everything
remotely.
Zoom. That's a brand new market that very few people understand. There's thousands of people coming here, living here because they can live here now and work for somebody else in another state.
Point being, folks, and I say this all the time, if you'd like to just have a free mortgage review, you want to figure out where am I at, can I save money, can I pull some money out, do some fix up, maybe I can do some things to make my house even more valuable than it is today and do some of the flipping that we're talking about as we speak. There's lots and lots of options, but here's the deal. You don't know what those are till you call Kurt.
You're correct. There's some loan programs out now that are pretty creative that work.
Call Kurt, 720-895-0500. Up next, Extreme Auto Repair. Get that vehicle in. Get it inspected. Buy tires. You can get your summer tires, winter tires, whatever you need. They've got it all. Cooper Tires at cost. Find them at klzradio.com, 303-841-1071. That's Extreme Auto Repair.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Follow me around. Go ahead and tell me. That was the last statement Senator Gary Hart made before he dropped out of the presidential race in 1987. By being ever accountable, you are free to do anything you set your mind to. Start your campaign now at klzradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Again, if you need Kurt, give him a call directly, 720-895-0500. I got something in front of me I didn't give to Kurt, but it goes right along with what we're talking about, and I just threw it into my notes today. As home prices climb, new starts reach a 14-year record. So housing starts in March climbed 19.4% from February to 1.74 million units, the highest number since 07 and the strongest month-to-month performance since 1990.
And I have several clients that are going to buy new builds. And in talking to some of the folks at new builds, they say every 2 weeks or every 10 sales, we're raising the price. Wow. And it just keeps moving. And if you don't want it, somebody else. And that's a tragic thing to say. But that's what's happening in the market. That's why you're going to see this for the next year. It's not going to change.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. And a lot of you say, well, then they'll just overbuild and we'll have an overage of houses down there. No, folks, because here's the reality. That 1.74 million units is nationwide, by the way.
Yeah.
That's countrywide. And I will tell you right now that in different parts of the country, especially here in Colorado, there's not enough carpenters to get that many homes built, going, and done. And just, I did an interview with a gentleman that wrote a book. This has been several years ago. Charlie may remember the book. I've got it. I'll have to grab it and bring it in and talk about it. But basically, the guy was writing a book about the future and what was going to happen when it came to baby boomers, where they were going to retire, what they were going to do. And what I found is this guy was fairly on, other than geographically he was a little off. He didn't think people would actually move to Colorado to retire because he didn't think our climate was good enough to do so. Well, he's wrong.
He's wrong.
Because a lot have. Now, even with that, this guy in the book back then said Colorado needed at least 50 to 100,000 houses built, and this was several years ago. We've not built those. So think about that number coming out of that 1.74 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one state. There's 50 states, folks, and I'll bet you the majority states are behind by 100K, if not more, in housing.
It's everywhere. It's
right?
It's just there are pockets in the country that are struggling. They're having some. But those are pockets that people don't want to live there. California, for example, they got a lot of homes for sale.
So if this guy was right, just I'll do the math real quick, and I'm not even going to use 50 states. I'm just going to say 50,000 homes.
50,000 homes.
Needed in a state. And let's just say there's 30 states that need that. That's your 1.5 million. We've got 1.6 million in starts.
Five,
there's our start.
Roughly just a start. 60% of the country is sucking up all them new builds.
That's just, yeah.
Yeah, 60% is all.
Yeah. So, folks, point being, is it still safe? If you don't own a home, is it still safe to buy one? Yes.
Yes.
If you own a home and you've got equity and you're thinking about buying another one as an investment, is that safe? Yes. It is. If you're looking for that second home that you didn't think you could ever afford and it's something you've been thinking about doing for retirement. Again, talk to Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial, some other things, you know, Kurt Rogers, when it comes to how do you tap into that equity. Folks, these are this is now the time to look at some of those things if you never have.
I had a conversation with a man the other day. He's my age, 67. He owns his house free and clear, and he says, I need to try to get some passive income. I said, well, if you go get a loan for $150,000, then you can go put a down payment on a home. He said, but I got a payment on that. I said, yeah, the payment's about $700 a month.
And the rent will be about $1,500 or more.
I said, you can take that $150 and go out and buy a $500,000 fourplex that will cash flow at $1,000 a month. I said, so you're getting paid $1,000 a month on something you're borrowing at $7.
Right.
And it's somebody else is paying you back. It ain't your money that's paying any of this back. And he put a pencil to it. He said, that's 7, 8% rate of return.
Yes.
I said, yeah.
Yes.
But you have that in your home now.
So
now
use it.
You be able to access it. I'm not saying just go buy rentals. Find the right one.
Yes.
But there's such a way that you can turn the equity of your house. The equity in your house is not giving you any rate of return. You can turn it into 7, 8%.
Yeah, for most of you listening, and I'm not trying to be, you know, a naysayer or anything along those lines, but for a lot of you that are listening, that equity in your home, you'll never tap into, your heirs will.
That's right.
You yourself will most likely never tap into the total equity in your home. All I'm saying and Kurt's saying is take some of that equity now, and if you've got the ability to tap into that and do some other things with it that further you and your future generations of your family, do so. That's all I'm saying.
There is a way to have passive income, and it always comes from somebody else that ain't yours, and it costs you nothing to get it. And they just they don't see the math to it. Once you start to understand that, it works. And that's why so many investors are out there.
And you know, folks, is there some risk in this? There's always risk if there's a reward. There's no such thing as not. There's a risk in putting money in a bank. There's risk in buying a rental property. So, yeah, there's always going to be some risk. You have to be the one to determine what's your risk tolerance and then determine how you want to do things. But I will tell you that if you look back historically speaking, when it comes to buying real property, commercial property, residential property, either one. If you go back in time and look, and I know there's some exceptions to this, but in general, if you go back in time and look at where things are 15, 20 years ago to today, you could have done fairly well in the stock market, but I can tell you right now, you'll do very well on the other side of the fence as well, on the real estate side.
Take your house and go back and look at what your house was worth 15 years ago. Might have been worth $235. Now it's worth $550 to $600, 15 years.
Yeah, it's double, plus.
Plus. And you did nothing, it's still there. And you've got it paid down.
And let me remind everybody of one other thing. Something that a lot of Dave Ramsey types forget to tell you. And I love Dave Ramsey, by the way, but these are things that sometimes Dave forgets to tell you. You got to have a roof over your head someplace or you're going to live in a shelter or a tent.
Right.
So the reality is you're doing all of what Kurt just said and you lived in it.
Yes.
That was your home.
Yes.
Entire time.
And you're getting equity.
So there's always a cost of monthly roof over your head.
You
right?
take That's correct. You take a house for, you take $100,000, you can put it in the stock market, you can put it in the bank, you can put it in a mortgage, you can put it in a pillow. The only place it has no risk is in a pillow. But it ain't making anything.
There's risk there because a thief can come in and steal it.
There's risks, like you said, everywhere.
There's no such thing as no risk.
Find what's comfortable for you, what's your risk tolerance, and learn how you can maybe make your money go farther than what you got.
Yeah, there's no such thing as no risk. I need to say that grammatically correct. There's no such thing as no risk, correct?
There's risk in everything you do, no matter what.
Getting in your car.
Yes.
Walking down the sidewalk. You name it.
You just have to weigh it. Where am I at with it?
And again, I'm not telling all of you to run out, mortgage your home, and invest in stupid things. I would never say that. I'm not even saying for some of you go out and invest in rental property. Some of you that works, others it doesn't. I'll give you a prime example. I can't own residential rental property.
That's not you. It doesn't work
not
for
because
you.
Financially I can't do it. I mentally cannot do it.
That's right.
Okay. I'm too particular, too anal. I cannot do it. I can do commercial, but commercial is a whole different animal. I cannot do residential rental property. It's not in my wheelhouse. I know my limitations. That's one of them.
I'm kind of like that. I don't play the stock market. I did many years ago. I got burned once. I said,
I don't do that one either. It's just not in my wheelhouse. I understand real estate. I understand commercial real estate. I do understand the residential real estate. And by the way, folks, here's another thing to look at when it comes to some of what we're talking about that some of you may or may not have thought of. And for some of you listening that maybe have the house paid for, maybe you've got a little bit more cash or wherewithal, and maybe, again, and go back to that second home. Maybe you've wanted to own a second home, who knows where. No idea. Somewhere. Here in Colorado, maybe Florida, whoever, wherever. I don't have any idea where it is. If you're strategic and you pick the right area and you can then take that second home you own, there is these great things called VRBOs and Airbnbs that generate revenue.
Large amounts.
In a lot of cases, yes. And they don't even have to be rented more than about 3 months out of the year to make the entire thing that year be paid for.
90 out of 365 days. I know that.
90 out of 365, folks. Yeah. Point being, a lot of you may not think you can own that second home and afford it. A lot of you, though, let me put it this way, you probably can't afford not to own that second home if you do it correctly.
Correct.
Now, is there work involved in what I just said? Of course there is.
Research.
You've got to research it. You've got to manage the property if, in fact, you end up with it. On and on we go. But my point is there ways for some of you listening to make more money with the money you have or the equity that you're sitting on? That's, by the way, doing nothing for you. Yes, there definitely is.
Never in our history have we had as much equity in the homes as we have now, or has your house been worth that much money? And the equity in your home is making you zero rate of return.
I will remind everybody when it even comes to Airbnb and VRBOs. We just went through a time where a lot of those couldn't even be rented. Now, I will also say this. When a lot of hotels were shut and shuttered and they weren't allowing anybody in, VRBOs and Airbnbs were still being rented.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks were still making money when JW Marriott was not. Now, those guys have big, deep pockets and they were able to withstand all of this and they're fine and it's not a big issue to them. But a lot of these Airbnb and VRBO owners, even during the pandemic, have done okay.
Yep.
They did because people still traveled. There is a section of society that will always have the ability to travel and do those sorts of things I just mentioned and rent a VRBO.
And they will.
And they will.
No matter what. Even back in 2008, they will.
Folks, as much as some of the political parties out there would not want to say what I just said, the reality is there will always be those levels on the Titanic where certain people can afford the top level and others can only afford the bottom level.
Right.
It's called life. And it's those top level individuals that will always be around to rent that VRBO. Correct?
Correct.
So, that's another way for some of you listening to take some of that equity, and by the way, have something that makes money and or at least pays for itself and gives you that second place to go to that you maybe always want to spend some time at.
Yes.
Right?
To get away. You want to get away for a weekend, there it is. 2-3 days. Cost you nothing.
And you can make that pay for itself, yep. Folks. So again, lots of ways we can do that. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the future and where rates are and so on. If you got a question for Kurt, I should have thrown this out earlier, but if you got a question for Kurt, feel free to call us right now. 720-895-0500 is his line directly. The studio line, though, if you want to call us right now, 303-477-5600. Kevin Flesch, by the way, who's going to join me on Monday. We'll have a great show in store for you when it comes to the legal side of the fence. Lots to cover there. If you've got a question for Kevin, though, in the meantime, anything legally speaking, you can give Kevin a call today, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and it's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesch. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesch, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Trial tested, trial ready.
Novus Auto Glass, folks, anything you need when it comes to your vision of your car, whether it's a windshield replacement, a repair, the headlights, you name it, they've got you covered. And I said yesterday, and I got a sample, I'm going to try it out this weekend, they have some of the best plastic polish known to mankind. They've invented it, and they've got a really great system for polishing plastic, whatever that might be around your house, boat, RV, motorcycle, you name it, they've got that as well. So find a location near you. Go to rushtoreason.com/novus. That's spelled N-O-V-U-S. And there's a link right there. Just click on it once you go to the website, rushtoreason.com.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Learn how to create a tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. Register now for a free Social Security and Retirement Income Workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wednesday, April 28th at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue. Dinner included. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to reserve your seat.
Because of the pandemic, Connect for Health has opened up a special enrollment period so you can switch to a different health insurance plan. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts for help finding the right coverage at the best price. 303-423-0162. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Kurt's got some tips on how to put an offer in on a house, but I saw something that I thought was appropriate to this that Kurt just reminded me of. So let me play something because this is pretty similar to what's going on in Colorado as we speak. Here we go.
Excuse me. Is that apple for sale?
Yeah, we're about to put it on sale right now, actually.
Well, I'm in the market, so tell me about your apple. Why should I buy it?
Nice try. Okay, people, here's how this is going to work. I have an apple here. The highest bidder's going home with this. I want all bids in the next 2 minutes, then we're closing it. Bidding starts at $5.
Feeling pretty confident there, huh? I mean, don't you think?
$10.
He said starting at $5.
$15.
Is this a new apple?
Yeah, just listed. I'm pre-qualified. I'll pay cash. I got cash. $20. $30. $40. No, just make it $45.
Is it even worth that?
$50. I don't know. Please, this is the 8th apple I've tried to buy.
Could I at least see it up close?
Nope, it's an apple. You know what it is. You either want it or you don't. I'll take it for $100.
What? I'm from California. It's the cheapest apple I've ever seen.
$120.
Why did I do that? Why? I don't.
Okay. How true is that?
It is so true. They get feeding frenzy.
It's just this. You're right. It's a feeding frenzy. Now, what are some tips on all of that?
When you're out to buy a home now, your realtor won't even take you out unless you say you've been pre-approved or you have a pre-approval letter. Part of the situation with that is most of the pre-approval letters are not satisfying the seller's agent pre-approval.
Okay.
What's happening now that's never happened before is when you make an offer on a home and the seller is going to consider that, the seller's agent will call. They're not asking, do you have a pre-approval? They're asking, what lender do you have? Do you have the income documentation and the asset documentations? When did you submit the file for pre-approval through the lender? When did the lender give you the underwriting pre-approval? Because that's the only kind of pre-approval that those selling agents want to see. Because the reason for that is basically cash, to where the only thing they need to know then is what's the value of the home. Let me see the contract. And you can close a loan. I'm closing loans in 5 to 10 days when I've gone ahead of time and got the pre-approval, simply because it's already been to underwriting.
All you're waiting for is what, appraisals?
That's correct. Appraisal, done. because I have the purchase contract. And what the agents are learning to do, the buyer's agents, are making sure when they, if you've gone through that process, when they take that approval to the seller, they're saying, we've already done this. Make sure your other people have done this.
Okay.
So they're forcing those people that haven't out of the game, because a seller does not want that property to sit there for 30 days if it's not already been to the underwriter, because guess what? They missed the market. Maybe they'll get more money, but they got to start the process over.
They don't want to.
Sellers don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So the questions and asking, you got to have the right realtor with you, and they, you got to know how to go in with that approval to make sure you get it.
Okay, let's talk new builds for the next 2 or 3 minutes.
A lot of people go into new builds. My first suggestion with that is always, always, always take your realtor. You are not paying for the realtor.
No. The builder is.
The builder pays for the realtor, and that realtor can protect you. I had that happen with one client, and had the realtor not been there, the builder would have got $50,000 of earnest money that the person would have lost and never been able to get back.
But the realtor protected them.
And I understand that the builders need the earnest money up front if they're going to start to build an $800,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be able to protect yourself with that earnest money and give yourself time to make certain things are done. They
the
weren't doing,
doing
it until the realtor
you.
Came in and took care of it and protected the buyer. So always, always, always take your realtor with you.
I agree.
They're going to get their piece. The builder's going to pay it. It's not going to cost you more money.
No.
But you're going to be protected, because – and then the builder's going to tell you to use their financing. If they're giving you a lot of money, that might be the way. But understand, they're builders. They're not lenders. There's certain things they can't do. So if they're going to send you to a lender, always have that number shopped wherever. Have it shopped with a broker. Have somebody else look at it. Because just because they're giving you $10,000 doesn't mean they're not charging you $15,000 to give you the $10,000.
All right. One other question. I didn't prep you for this one, so you know, forgive me if you don't want to answer it. Feel free. Just don't. What about some of these real estate agencies that are advertising all of their agents, the buy, the sell, the whole nine yards, and on top of that, oh, we have our own mortgage company in-house?
They do. There's a reason they want to do that.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that the mortgage company is going to know the product that you need. See, the mortgage company, as you do, when you go to a mortgage company, and I know many people are listening, and you go to apply, they're very cookie cutter. They're very call center type, A, B, C, D. They don't listen to who you are and what might work for you.
Right.
And you might end up going with them, but did you get the product that was best for you with the best price? There's people advertising 30 or mortgages at 1.875, but the APR is 2.9. They're going to send you to somebody like that, and you don't understand why the APR is a point higher, because that's where your cost comes from. You're paying, when they say APR, you're paying so much more over to get there.
That's right.
I had a customer today that told me, she said, I want an FHA because the rate's lower. I said, yeah, but the mortgage insurance higher, and it makes it higher than a rate of 3% on a conforming loan.
Right.
What's more important? Are they listening to what you're telling them, or are they just saying, I want a loan?
Great point.
So, yeah, it's quite important. Shop. Shop me. I don't care. Shop.
I was just going to say, folks, that's the key here. And as I say all the time, and I mean it, Kurt knows it. He'll back me up on this. If you just want a free review of what you've got going on in any of this stuff, even if you've got another deal in motion and, I just want another set of eyes to look at this and tell me whether I'm right, wrong, or otherwise, Kurt will look at it for you.
Yeah, I will.
It's not a problem. He didn't care.
Yeah.
Just call him up, send him the stuff, and he'll tell you whether it's a good deal or not.
Yeah.
This isn't complicated.
No, it's not. If you're taking care of the first time and you got the good broker, stay with them. I'm not the only one out there. There's plenty of us. But there's so many more now taking advantage of the feeding frenzy that's going on.
Right.
Make sure you don't get caught up in that.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the best way to do it. Well said.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. No. And I appreciate Kurt, by the way. Those of you listening, Kurt's a great guy. He's been my mortgage broker for, five, 6 years. And, we just keep adding and doing and, a lot of the things that we even talk about here today, folks, I'm living proof of it works. Kirk can do it. One last thing, if you're self-employed, I understand that full well because I have been since I was 22 years of age. So since 1986, every loan I've done has had some sort of a component of being self-employed in it, and it makes it more difficult. There's more things you have to do. And I will also tell you this, it's not cookie cutter. And not every mortgage broker out there understands how to do that and get that deal done. Kurt does. So if you're self-employed and you need help, please give Kurt a call. I mean that sincerely. He'll walk you through it and get you taken care of. And he'll tell you on the front side, can you do it or not?
Right up front. And if you can, I'll tell you what you got to do to get there.
Right. That easy. All right. Give Al Smith a call today, by the way. Financial Future, we're talking about houses and all the different things going on with equity and the wealth and that side of it. Talk to Al. He'll help you plan through this stuff as well. 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
You can breathe easy knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Kurt Rodgers, and before we close out, he had some important info, some news he said during the break. I said, just say it on air.
Our company just got licensed in Arizona. We're going to get licensed in Utah, Nebraska, and Wyoming within the next 30 days. That means I have to take a test so I can do loans in those states, but that's all in the process. So if you've got property that you're thinking about buying or anything you want to do, I'm going to be able to help you out in those states also.
Do you need to do disclaimers or no?
Affordable interest mortgage, NMLS 298-191. We're regulated by DORA.
Okay, we'll leave it at that, folks. We'll see you tomorrow, by the way. Movies, by the way, tomorrow, movies about royalty. And then Andy's going to have a new movie review as well. And I believe, make sure that I'm saying this correctly, what do you remember what the movie is, Charlie? I can't remember. I look. Anyways, we'll have a new movie review tomorrow as well. So with that, we'll get out of here. Have a great evening. The first hour is up next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.